Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to a brand new week of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Look forward to this time. Every day we talk both local and national sports. Today we will hit it heavy on the national sports scene. Now that baseball is back in its swing, a lot of great baseball games over the weekend. Obviously, the most recognizable was a rematch of last year's World Series, Dodgers-Red Sox. Dodgers take 2 out of 3 from Boston. Last night, an 11-inning contest that ended in favor of L.A. Those teams battle it out. I know the World Series went 5 games, but we had that marathon 18-inning contest at an 11-inning tilt last night. I like it when those two teams get together. We will talk baseball on the show today. We are 16 days away from the trade deadline. And one of the things that I like about this year of Major League Baseball, there's no more waiver and non-waiver deadline. That's it. There's a trade deadline. And when that trade deadline passes, nobody can make moves. You know, if you're unaware of the way it worked in the past, if you wanted to move a player, you had to put him on the waiver. And if nobody claimed him off the waiver wire, then you were free to trade that player. That's the way it worked. That's not the case this year. So we're 16 days away. As far as buyers and sellers go, I think we have a pretty clear indication, although there is one team that we do talk a lot about because every week Bill Lasky, former Major League Baseball pitcher for the Giants, he joins us. Unable to join us today because the Giants and Rockies went toe-to-toe with an afternoon contest. But the Giants blasted through the Rockies. 19-2 was the final score. San Francisco tallies 21 hits at Coors Field. And don't look now, but the Giants are within striking distance to potentially grab a wild card spot. The NL West, for as lopsided as it is at the very top, the Dodgers, I believe, are now 15 up on the Rockies. All of those teams behind the Dodgers are in the running for a wild card spot. They're within 5 games. Okay, so we will look at buyers and sellers on the show today, but I think that's a true testament to how great the Dodgers have been. All 4 teams behind them are still in contention, and they're 15 up. It's fairly amazing, but the Giants put on a hitting display today. Jermaine Marquez had a disastrous outing for the Rockies. He gave up 11 runs in 2 2/3. Definitely not a powerful performance, to say the least. As far as home runs go, Buster Posey went yard. Crawford went yard. Yastrzemski went yard. It was a home run parade all day long for the San Francisco Giants. That was the only day baseball game. But we do have plenty coming up in the afternoon. 5 o'clock on ESPN, the Dodgers will take on the Philadelphia Phillies. Clayton Kershaw goes toe-to-toe with Zach Eflin. The Dodgers will continue their national TV spree. They were on national TV all weekend, and now they'll start off the week of Monday Night Baseball on ESPN, 5 o'clock start time there. The Yankees will take on the Rays. These two teams just went toe-to-toe in Tampa Bay a little while ago. They split a 4-game set, 2-2. And looking at the way the AL standings are set up, the Dodgers obviously did the Yankees solid over the weekend by taking 2 out of 3 from the Red Sox. The Yankees 6 up right now on Tampa Bay, 10 up on the Red Sox. And while I believe that that division is already a foregone conclusion, the Yankees can really make some headway if they take care of business against Tampa Bay in the series that begins tonight. We get Detroit at Cleveland at 5:10. The Blue Jays will battle the Red Sox at 5:10 as well. Cincinnati travels to meet the Chicago Cubs at 6:05. Kyle Hendricks will go up against Luis Castillo. Castillo's been a very dynamic pitcher throughout the year for the Reds. And the Cubs, well, they're still trying to find their footing. Not getting a whole lot of consistency out of the Chicago Cub team. Atlanta will take on Milwaukee, a big important series here for the Brew Crew as they try to remain in contention in what's been just a very entertaining race. The most entertaining race, I think, of all in that National League Central. The Cubs Right now, 2.5 up on the Brewers, 3 up on the Cardinals, 5.5 up on the Pirates, 6.5 up on the Reds. It's an interesting race through and through, but that's an important series for the Brewers as they take on the first-place Atlanta Braves. The Chicago White Sox will go toe-to-toe with Kansas City at 6:15. Pittsburgh and St. Louis, big important divisional matchup, 6:15 start time there. Doubleheader tonight. Colorado again playing host to the San Francisco Giants in Game 2. Chichi Gonzalez will go up against Derek Rodriguez in that contest. Nightcap tonight, we have Houston at the Angels. Josh James going up against Griffin Canning. Canning taking the mound for the Angels. That's a quick look at what's happening in Major League Baseball. Let's move to the national sports scene, and we'll begin in the NBA. Ben Simmons is not leaving the Philadelphia 76ers anytime soon. This is a deal that was reported a couple of weeks ago. But the sides basically had until mid-October to finalize an extension for Simmons. They've agreed on a 5-year, $170 million maximum extension. Simmons' agent, Rich Paul, confirmed that to ESPN. And again, like I said, the sides had until October to get this done. The Sixers had offered the max contract to Ben Simmons, who again was Rookie of the Year in 2017-2018. Number one overall pick. Cornerstone star for the 76ers. I don't think there's any doubt here. When you take a look at what the Sixers have developed, Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris, Al Horford, all those deals are now long-term. Simmons isn't going anywhere. Embiid just signed a 5-year, $150 million deal. Tobias Harris had a 5-year, $180 million deal. Al Horford, 4 years, $109 million. So the core for the 76ers, it's locked up. Simmons is only going to be 23 years old. There's the running joke, especially in Utah. Jazz fans don't like Ben Simmons, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that he didn't play his rookie year, but he still won Rookie of the year he played his first year in the league over Donovan Mitchell. The kick and ball. 17 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists last season for Philadelphia. He's 6'10". He has one of the most unique skill sets, and he can finish at the rim. Can he hit the outside shot? No, but I don't necessarily think he needs to. And again, if you're a Sixer fan for all those years of mediocrity and all those years of embrace the tank, things are finally really good for the Sixers. We know what that starting lineup is going to look like, at least for the foreseeable future. We stick in the NBA. The Cleveland Cavaliers have waived J.R. Smith. Not a surprise here as well. The Cavs wanted to trade him. They've been looking to trade him for like a year now because only a portion of his $15 million contract for next year is guaranteed. They worked out a deal with Smith to extend his guarantee date from June 30th to July 15th, which upped his guarantee from $3.9 million to $4.4 million, but they still couldn't find a deal. Now, by waiving and stretching that guaranteed money, the Cavs will get below the luxury tax for this upcoming season. He only played 11 games last year. He left the team in November waiting for a trade, and it never happened. 15-year veteran, 37% three-point shooter, very familiar with LeBron James. It's being reported the Lakers are not interested in J.R. Smith. LeBron doesn't want anything to do with that. We know better. There's no way LeBron wants that guy anywhere near L.A. But he is a shooter. He can shoot the ball, and if you bring him into a place that has a solid veteran locker room presence, I think he's going to be okay. Curious to see where J.R. Smith lands next. Some sad news out of the world of sports today. If you're a boxing fan, you understand the impact Pernell Whitaker had on the sport. He was pound for pound king for a very long time, one of the greatest boxers in history. And he was killed Sunday night when he was hit by a car in Virginia Beach. He was only 55 years old. The Virginia Beach Police Department said the incident remains an active investigation. But Whitaker was apparently hit by a vehicle at around 10 o'clock when he was walking at an intersection. And like I said, very sad news. We're talking about one of the greatest boxers of all time. Sweet Pea Whitaker, elected into the International Boxing Hall of Fame back in 2006. He won world titles in 4 different weight classes. Undisputed lightweight champion. Also won titles at the junior welterweight and welterweight and junior middleweight as well. Dominant force in boxing for much of the 80s and 90s. Won a gold medal as well at the 84 Olympics. Very sad news. He has passed away at the age of 55 after being struck by a vehicle last night in Virginia. That's a quick look at what is happening in the national sports front. We'll give you the rundown on the local sports scene in just a few moments. And we'll talk NBA basketball. Busy weekend. Things are starting to settle down, and we know what teams are going to look like now. Anthony Davis had his press conference with the Lakers over the weekend. That's now officially official. And so you know what teams are going to have. The Western Conference is going to be very entertaining. I'll call it right now. Top four teams in the West, in my mind, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Jazz, and I'm still rolling with the Nuggets. I'm going to roll with the Nuggets over the Rockets. We'll talk about the top four in the Western Conference when we return. It's a Monday edition of Drive Time Sports, and it's right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Oakland-born Damian Lillard.
Now, what a second season for Damian Lillard.
Last year's Rookie of the Year, an All-Star this year. It's Lillard. He got the shot off. Lillard got it. And the Blazers win the series for the first time in 14 years.
This is Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with George Buscarino on KOAL 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, live from the Auto Forum Studios. It's a Monday edition of the show, and we have to talk NBA basketball tonight. The final game of Summer League in Las Vegas, an event that just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And on top of that, a lot of player movement still going on, as we talked about in depth on Friday, Russell Westbrook finding a new home. We'll talk about all that and more right now with our next guest. He joins us each week to talk NBA basketball. He's based out of Las Vegas, where Summer League is taking place right now. We have our NBA insider, Jameson Welsh. And Jameson, as always, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me, as always. Definitely appreciate it.
Absolutely. So you are right in the heart of 2019 Summer League. I know this is an event that gets bigger and bigger every year. You actually made it out to a couple of games. I know you and I had this conversation off of the cuff, and I'll go back to it. It's not great basketball, but at the end of the day, it is something. What's been the highlight of the Las Vegas Summer League up to this point?
Man, well, I don't know if it's a highlight, but the first day there was an earthquake during the Zion RJ Barrett game, so that's probably the most memorable thing of this whole tournament. You had the young guy from the Pelicans, Jackson Hayes, I believe his name is. He dunked on someone really badly. But, I mean, you've had some guys really have some good nights. You've had guys like Aaron Holiday, Carson Edwards, Brandon Clark have some good games. Jordan McLaughlin and Oz Reed for the T-Wolves have some pretty good games. So there's been a lot of guys that have played well. But the fascinating part of this whole situation is we realize these guys are on job interviews for like a 10-day stretch. They're here on an extended job interview, whether it's to make the NBA, make the G League, or get a job overseas. So it's very intriguing how that process is going.
Oh, no question. I know that Summer League did lose a little bit of its lust once Zion went down, and it seems like in years past, there's always a couple of rookies or a standout rookie with a lot of hype that people are excited about. Go back a couple of years ago, that was there with Lonzo Ball. When Zion went down and they decided, okay, he's not playing any more Summer League games, it did hit it a little bit, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because it's not just Zion's not playing. You have Zion not playing, John Morant not playing, Culver didn't play. Garland didn't play, and there's someone else in the top 10 that didn't play. So you have a lot of guys that people wanted to see, were expecting to see, and didn't see. So the marketing for the event was very well, but, there's a couple of other two-year guys that play like 15 minutes and it's not playing as well. So it's a very, very rough situation regarding the whole thing. With that being said, still you have a lot of other guys that played well that weren't lottery picks. So it's still a good event, but you can't go to the event looking for good basketball. That's not going to happen.
No, absolutely not. And I know that every year we see more and more seasoned NBA vets just making appearances at Summer League. Here's the interesting dynamic, especially in a summer that has been so fluid. You see superstars showing up to watch games courtside, and I'm sure it's more of a getaway for them with this being in Las Vegas, but at the same time, what's the reaction when we have a massive move in the middle of Summer League, like Russell Westbrook going from OKC to Houston, and you know that there's just there is a pretty good number of seasoned vets and a large number of well-known NBA execs in the same area?
It's like a shock. It's a Woj bomb in real life. I'll give you a couple of examples. When Paul George and Kawhi Leonard became Clippers that Friday night, I had seen Jerry West in the Venetian about 15 minutes before it happened. So he was walking with friends and family, it looked like. And he, regular guy, regular mood, nothing, not too happy, not too mad, just regular Jerry West. And then 15 minutes later, we get the bomb that Kawhi's going to Clippers, and then 2 minutes later that Paul George has been traded to the Clippers for the craziest amount of package we've ever seen. So I was like, wow, this is kind of how this goes. And then when Russ got traded, we were all like, oh, okay, like, this is interesting. And we were working on a project, and somebody that we had needed to interview had to reschedule because they had to go on air because of that announcement. So it's one of those things where it sends shockwaves, but everybody's in the same building, and everyone starts to analyze the trade.
Let's talk
about the funniest part of the whole thing.
Well, I'm sure. Let's talk about that trade. I'm not completely sold. I do believe Houston got better with this deal. That's kind of, I guess, indicative of what I think of Chris Paul at this particular time in his career. But nonetheless, I do believe Houston got better. Jameson, I'm still not willing to say that Houston is in that upper three in the Western Conference. And when I say upper three, I'm talking Lakers, Clippers, Jazz. I'm not willing to say that yet. But your assessment of this Westbrook trade?
So here's the thing. I don't have the Jazz in the top three. I have Portland as the third team right now. We'll see what happens going forward. But I have the Lakers, Clippers, and Portland. I think, and I think fourth is Denver. The thing I see with this trade is it gives Houston a higher ceiling. However, the issue I have is this. Their bust rate is very, very high. Because you have two combustible players, you have a coach on a lame duck deal, and the fit is not really good up front on paper, and defensively it's not good also. So I'm curious to see what happens. Like I want to see how this pans out. I don't have high hopes for it, but I've been wrong before. We've all been wrong. It could turn out to be a great fit, but I don't think it is. I think it's going to be a bad, bad fit. And if that's the case, you may see Russell Westbrook on a third team in 3 years next year.
It's very possible. The one thing that does give me hope, and if you're a Rocket fan, it should give you hope. I'm so curious to see Russell Westbrook in a Mike D'Antoni offense. I'm curious about that.
I'm curious to an extent, but like the one thing, like Harden is, even though he takes some wild shots at times, pretty efficient as a player. He gets to the line a lot. He shoots somewhat decent from three. He gets a lot of layups and whatnot. I'd love to see him shoot more mid-range, but that's a different story for a different day. Russ being inefficient is going to be interesting because that's not going to work in that system. If he's going to shoot 20-plus times a game, he has to find a way to make some shots. He can't go 8-for-20 on this team. So I'm going to be curious to see how they implement him. And also, here's the thing, too. Mike D'Antoni is there for a year. We don't know what the future holds for him there. If they go in a different direction after the season, that's a whole different system, whole different style. So it's a lot of moving parts right now that normally has the answers for.
Right, and one of the things that I can't appreciate, and again, if you're a Rocket fan, you have to appreciate this as well, they have the most aggressive general manager in the NBA. And look, being in a small market, this is the first time that the Utah Jazz have been extremely aggressive and spent a lot of money in quite some time. In fact, this is the best free agency period the Jazz have ever had. For a Rocket fan, it has to be refreshing knowing that you have someone like Daryl Morey who will be aggressive, who will go out and try to attract a star. He did this with Chris Paul. He did this with Dwight Howard. No, it hasn't turned into a championship yet, but at least they're willing to try things, Jameson. And it's got to be refreshing for James Harden as well.
So here's the thing. When it comes to something like this, Daryl Morey has a very unique advantage of this. If things work out, he's a genius. If they don't, he can get a job somewhere else. Probably get the Washington Wizards job right now if he wanted to. That's the funniest part of this whole situation. He's a very aggressive guy, and I respect it. I like the aggressiveness because there's so many GMs that are very passive and just let things happen. Daryl's like, you know what, let's go for it. So I definitely respect that of him. However, man, sometimes you got to consider the fit and the chemistry because, sometimes things sound a lot much better than paper than they do reality, and I think this might be one of those things. Getting, two of the best guards in this generation to play on the same team, that's not a bad thing, but, man, can they coexist? I don't know if that's possible.
Well, let's move over and talk about the Lakers. Yesterday, or 2 days ago, rather, Anthony Davis was introduced at a press conference. A non-committal to the franchise long-term. And look, I don't think anyone should freak out about that. He should not be committal to this franchise long-term, especially in July. Yet at the same time, Jameson, what's the percentage that this is a one-and-done rental for the Lakers after giving up their entire team to acquire him?
Zero.
Okay, I feel the same way. But anytime you're non-committal, of course, outlets are going to start writing things. You're going to start hearing stories. If things go wrong right out of the gate for the Lakers, it's something that could, I guess, tower over this team. But nonetheless, it is different than the Dwight Howard situation. It's completely different. AD wants to be in L.A.
Man, as long as LeBron James and Rich Paul are in Los Angeles, Anthony Davis isn't going anywhere. Also, here's the thing, too. Like, guys don't want to leave Los Angeles. Like, that's the thing people don't realize. Very few athletes have said, I want to leave. Very few. Now, Dwight didn't want to leave. Dwight won the organization to make a choice between him and Kobe, and we know who won that choice. Like, we know that what went down there. So, with that being said, no one wants to leave Los Angeles. Once they get a taste of being a Laker, and God forbid they win as a Laker, like, yeah, nah, like, no one wants to leave Los Angeles. Everyone through our lifetime who has been a Laker and has been traded has been saddened. No one has wanted to leave. Now, they've had to leave for contract issues or getting more money, whatever it may have been, or got traded. But no one has said, you know what, I don't really like you here. Nah, that just doesn't happen.
All right, give me your top four in the Western Conference right now as it stands. We'll say top four because that's home court advantage.
That's a great question. Both L.A. teams 1-2, Portland 3, Denver 4.
Okay, I agree with that. I actually agree with that. Denver's a team that's getting overlooked simply because they didn't really add anybody in the offseason.
They didn't, but here's the thing. I think they're going to be a better team. And
I agree.
If they do, if somehow Michael Porter Jr. is somewhat healthy, if he's able to play, that's an addition. Ball Ball's a long, long stretch. I don't know if he's going to be able to contribute this year. But if he's like the 10th guy on their bench, then he's better than any other 10th guy on the bench. Like that, he's a lottery talent that fell to 44 for a lot of different reasons that we are not going to get into today because we don't have enough time. But, yes, if they have two guys on their bench that are potential team changers in terms of what they can provide, especially off the bench. So I'm very curious to see what happens with those guys. But I like what Denver did because they have a lot of flexibility. They, you know, if they need to, they can make a move. Millsap's an expiring, a big expiring at that. So they have a lot of different ways they can go about this whole situation. So I'm kind of curious to see how their season is going to turn out.
All right. Talking of situations, we'll end with this. What's next for Chris Paul? We talked about this on Friday as well. I threw out a couple of Eastern Conference teams that I could see a fit. It's going to be very difficult for OKC to move him. I understand this. I just don't see Chris Paul wearing an Oklahoma City uniform on opening day. I just don't see that happening. What's next for this guy?
It's kind of tough because he does have value. Yes, he has value. However, I don't know if another team wants or needs him at this point in time. So he may be stuck this season, and he may end up getting moved next season. Because next season only has 2 years left on a deal. Then, you know, even though he's owed $80 million, it's a lot easier to move a deal with 2 years left on it than 3 years left on it.
Sure.
So I think he's an OKC this year. I really do. I don't see another team trading for him. I don't see a team out there that says, hey, we want to go sign up for 2 years, $80 million of Chris Paul in his mid-30s. I don't see that right now, but I think he plays in OKC, and I think he is in the backcourt with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and I think that's a pretty good backcourt.
That's not bad. It's not bad. At the same time, there's no way he wants to be at OKC. I mean, it's a really weird situation, but it's also a tale of caution, right? When you are an aging player, and I mean that in the most respectful way, when you are an aging player, you have every right to get every penny you want. That's exactly what Chris Paul did. In the same token, you could become a cap casualty in some regard and land in a location you don't necessarily want to be in. It's kind of a cautionary tale.
No, absolutely, and you know that's part of being a pro. That's part of being a pro. That's just how it goes. And also, here's the funny part: he's the head of the Players Association, so he can't take a buyout and leave a lot of money on the table. Now, if he leaves a couple million on the table, okay, that's different. But he can't take half and leave half. Like that can't happen. So there's a lot of fascinating things on the table. Like, okay, if OKC said, "Hey, we'll buy you out now and stretch out the money over a long time," if you take half what's owed to you, he can't do that. It sounds good, but he can't do that, and you can't get the terms undisclosed. So, yeah, he wants to win, and he would be a great point guard for the Lakers. If he was the Lakers starting point guard at some minimum contract, I think everyone would love that, but that's just not the case.
Jameson Welsh, again, our NBA analyst. Always a pleasure to get you on, Jameson. I'll let the people know where they can find more of your work.
ESPN 1100 in Vegas, 720 in Vegas, 1340 Fox, on several affiliates, ESPN 1480 in Nebraska, and of course, your lovely show on average once a week.
Jameson, a pleasure as always. Thank you again for the time.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me as always.
We've got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return.
Hey, this is Nick Tropiano with the Anaheim Angels, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Let's talk trade deadline in Major League Baseball. Rapidly approaching July 31st, and as I pointed out at the beginning of the show, the great thing about the trade deadline this year is when we hit that deadline on the 31st, that is it. There's no waiver wire trades. There's none of that. July 31st hits, that's the deadline. And as we get closer to that point, you're starting to see some buyers and sellers. And look, 3 weeks ago, the team in my mind that would have been the biggest seller, San Francisco Giants, with the idea of Madison Bumgarner or maybe even Will Smith being out there on the trade market, what's that going to fetch? Those would be the big prizes. And every year it seems like there's a pitcher out there that's the big prize. Again, for me, I'm looking at the Giants right now. I'm looking at Bumgarner. I'm looking at Will Smith. Unless the Giants keep winning. And this could ultimately bring us a very dull trade deadline in Major League Baseball. Now, the Giants right now are in last place in the NL West, even after just destroying the Rockies today, 19-2. And again, those two squads will go at it again in just a bit. The Giants have now won 8 out of their last 10. They're a game back of the Padres. They're 2 games back of the Rockies. Could be a game back by the end of this evening. And they're 2.5 back of the Arizona Diamondbacks. Now, just because you win 8 out of 10 doesn't mean you no longer become a seller. But what it does mean is the next 2 weeks are going to tell us an awful lot about this deadline. Because the Giants, after topping the Rockies this morning, are now 4 games back of one of the wild card spots. 5.5 back of the top wild card spot. That's nothing. There's a lot of baseball still to be played. I mean, there's only 95 games, I believe, is what the Giants have played up to this point. There's a lot of 93 games, excuse me. So there's a lot of baseball still to be played. This team has a winning record on the road. And like I said, they've won 8 out of their last 10. So let's say in the next 2 weeks, the Giants are 3 games out of the wild card spot within the next 2 weeks. I don't think they become sellers. Because Madison Bumgarner has pitched very well for this team. And as far as closers go, find me someone on the market better than Will Smith. Maybe Kirby Yates in San Diego, maybe. But look, if the Giants aren't sellers, I don't know if the Padres would be sellers either. Padres have a lot of offense. Maybe they're buyers. Maybe they try to help out this pitching rotation. Maybe they try to help out the bullpen. Most valuable commodity on the market, there's no question to me, it's Madison Bumgarner and Will Smith. Who are some other players that could hit the rumor mill or could be on the move? The Cleveland Indians with Trevor Bauer. To me, this is a name that's been out there for a long time. Indians believe his value is going to be much higher now than this winter when he can earn $18 million in his final year before free agency. But they're not going to trade him unless they get a starter who can help them right now in return. And I don't think you get that from anyone that's contending. I like Bauer a lot. I thought Bauer was going to get moved this offseason. Didn't happen. What about Matthew Boyd from Detroit? He could probably garner a couple of prospects. He's young, he's cheap, he's talented, under control for 3 more years. Kind of reminds me of the Chris Archer deal. Tigers are going to want a whole lot more for him because, again, he's only 28 years old. Fifth pitcher in Tigers history to strike out 10 or more batters in 3 consecutive games. The kid can play. Maybe he would become the next the marquee name out there. Zach Greinke in Arizona. The Diamondbacks, at some point in time, have to move on from Greinke. And to be perfectly honest with you, I'm surprised that the Diamondbacks are sitting where they're at right now in the NL West. Or in the NL wildcard race in particular. They're a game and a half out. I don't know that the Diamondbacks are going to be sellers anytime soon. But at some point in time, you have to take a look at where your roster is. I mean, Jared Dyson's been great for him this year. You know, you've had some players really step up. This is a financial thing, though, when you look at Greinke. And this is where it's different than, say, the Giants with Will Smith or with Madison Bumgarner. $64 million remaining on Zach Greinke's contract after this season. some of the 31.5 he's earning this year is also tacked onto that. He's been great, but he does have a bloated salary. And there are 15 teams on his no-trade list. So any trade is going to be a little bit more complicated because of that. It would be easier for the Diamondbacks to move on from Robbie Ray. He's only earning $6 million under control through 2020. And according to reports, including the USA Today, the Yankees would be interested in Robbie Ray. But to me, Zach Greinke becomes one of the most interesting names at the trade deadline. Because at some point, the Diamondbacks have to move on from him. And if you go back to Greinke a few years ago when he was a free agent and he hit the open market, remember that, I believe it was the sixth year on the contract was the sticking point. You had teams offering 4 or 5 years, but it was that additional year that the Diamondbacks offered him that made him say, okay, I'm going to leave the Dodgers, I'm going to go to Arizona. So Greinke to me is entertaining. This guy has been very, very good. But again, the Diamondbacks, if they do move on from Greinke, it's all financial. It has absolutely nothing to do with where they're sitting at right now because they're 47-47, and they are right in the thick of things as far as the NL wildcard goes. Now, again, I'm pointing this out. Any team we talk about in the NL West, they're battling for a wildcard spot. They have no chance of winning that division. They're 15 back of the Dodgers. But Greinke so far this year, team best 2.9 ERA. He's got 10 wins. That's a team best as well. He's only given up 42 earned runs. 13 home runs this season. 114 strikeouts. That's well behind Robbie Ray. His K per 9 is like 8. Ray's is around 12. Greinke's whip's been off the charts. I think it's 0.8, 0.9. He's been phenomenal. Zach Greinke's a name to watch as we approach the trade deadline. Marcus Stroman of the Blue Jays. The only way that guy's on a Blue Jays roster August 1st is if he gets hurt between now and the trade deadline. I don't think they have any choice. I think they have to move him. Zach Wheeler, perfect summer rental as well with the New York Mets. The Mets have all intentions of keeping Noah Syndergaard. That's what the reports say. But Wheeler is the perfect trade chip. And for less than half of what Noah Syndergaard would cost, he's affordable. So who would the most aggressive teams be? And again, those are the names that I'm throwing out as the most viable trade options, the most viable trade chips. So you start looking at which teams are going to be most aggressive come trade deadline. And this is where it really gets interesting because who's buyers, who's sellers at this point in time? The NL is so clustered right now. Dodgers are the best team in the National League, but I think they have to make a move. I think they have to do something in the bullpen. The Braves are loaded as far as pitching prospects go. I think they have to stay put. Most aggressive teams. The Yankees are going to be aggressive. We know this. They're all in. I think the Cubs are going to be very aggressive. Cubs need help. There's no doubt that the Cubs need help. The Red Sox are going to get into the postseason. That's a good baseball team. They stayed pretty much the same from last year. Not a lot of changes within that squad. The Red Sox are going to get in. I could see the Astros. You know, the Nationals. The Nationals are a team I'm going to throw in the same category as the Giants. If you'd have asked me this a month ago, I did say this on the show. The Nationals need to tear it down. They need to explore the idea of moving on from Max Scherzer. Finally, the Nationals are playing the way I expected them to at the beginning of the season. And now they hold a wild card spot at 49-43. They too have won 8 out of 10. And their plus minus run differentials at 33. Trade deadline is going to be fun in baseball. It really is. And again, I like that we only have one specific deal, one specific day. There's no more waiver. I think it makes it a little bit more interesting. The team to watch between now and then, it's the San Francisco Giants. What do the Giants look like in 2 weeks? That will tell us what kind of a trade deadline we are going to have because Bumgarner and Will Smith, those are the two top prizes. And I guess I can throw Kirby Yates in as well because if the Padres continue to slip, they'll look to move on from Yates. We've got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
Let's close out this Monday edition of Drive Time Sports. Talk video games for a moment. I'm not a big video game guy. I'll play video games from time to time. I don't understand the esports craze. I don't even know what esports is, to be honest with you. I do know I was at a pinball convention a little while back, and there were a line of people at a table getting autographs. I was just curious as to who was at the table. I had no idea who these guys were. They were the Utah Jazz esports team. I had no idea who they were. People were literally getting pictures and balls signed by these guys. I don't know much about it. But as far as video games go, I get into two. I will play occasionally NBA 2K. I mean, I've done that since I was high school, college, NBA 2K from time to time. And of course, Madden. But the one thing I will say about Madden, and this is where it's so much different than any other video game that's out on the market, the players that are depicted in Madden, they get in on the fun. And NFL teams really rally around Madden. I don't know if you've noticed this. It's a big deal when we find out who the cover athlete of Madden is. Players weigh in on their rankings when the new game is about to release. I think that's part of the appeal to me when it comes to Madden. The players endorse it. You know, I don't know anything about the Madden tournaments. I've never watched one of those. But I see the NFL players all the time playing Madden, and they always have a comment about where they're ranked. Take, for instance, Keenan Allen. He's not happy where his rating is. He said he's not going to play Madden 20 because of it. But I'm always curious to see how these ratings come out. And most of the time, I shake my head at some of these ratings. Like, for instance, quarterback. Cover athletes, Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is the number one rated quarterback in Madden. He's got a 97. Tom Brady would be number two at 96. Philip Rivers is third at 94. Andrew Luck, four at 92. Russell Wilson is five at 91. Aaron Rodgers all the way down to 90. Don't agree with that. Matt Ryan, Ben Roethlisberger, then Cam Newton. Below Cam Newton, Jared Goff. Don't believe that. Baker Mayfield. Deshaun Watson. Nah, give me Deshaun Watson over Cam Newton. Carson Wentz, I'll take Carson Wentz over Cam Newton as well. You know, the 99s are always the interesting ones as well. Because the list of players who have been 99 on the Madden rankings, they're small. But there are a few 99s this year. Most of them are on the defensive end of the football. Aaron Donald is a 99. I agree with that. I think he's the best football player in the world. There's four 99s. The only offensive player that's 99... is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for Houston. I'm fine with that. That's the Madden 99 club. Bobby Wagner's a 99, former Utah State product, linebacker for the Seattle Seahawks. And Khalil Mack. Are those the four best football players? You can make a case for all four of those. I'm fine with that. I do get a kick, though, out of the reaction of not only fans, but also the NFL players when the ratings come out. And again, that's part of the appeal of Madden. No other video game has that. And so even if you're not a video game fan, you've heard of Madden. The franchise is unreal. It's the only football game out there. And that's where it has the step above even NBA 2K. You go back, we talk about the Madden curse all the time. I think you can get rid of the Madden curse. Tom Brady was on Madden last year, if I'm not mistaken. 2 years ago. He won a Super Bowl. There's no Madden curse there. So Patrick Mahomes doesn't have that to worry about. But that's how you know it's a slow day as far as the national sports scene goes. We're talking about Madden and the player rankings. But I will tell you to look them up on social media because the rankings and the players' reactions, it's funny. It's a breath of fresh air around the time where we gear up for camps and preseason football. It's somewhat fun. Here before too much longer, we'll be talking a lot of college football because the preseason rankings will be out. And, of course, tomorrow on the show, we will talk a lot of NFL football. It'll be Football Tuesday. Last week, we had Jerry Kramer on the show, former Green Bay Packer, legendary Green Bay Packer. Let me do his name justice, plus a Hall of Famer. If you missed that interview, head on over to CastleCountryRadio.com. You can listen to it in its entirety. Tomorrow, though, all NFL football talk. We'll mix in some baseball as well. Bill Lasky will join us. Pushed back his appearance from Monday to Tuesday because of the doubleheader between the Rockies and the Giants. Bill, he's an analyst for the Giants. He's actually working both of those games from the studio in San Francisco doing TV work today. So we'll catch up with Bill Lasky tomorrow. That is going to do it for us. I will catch you back here same time, same place. Again, do not forget, you can listen to Drive Time Sports on demand whenever you would like at CastleCountryRadio.com. You can also listen to specific interviews and segments that we have throughout the week. For Travis Anderson, I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.